I'm a really awkward person, but is this normal? So this guy came over, we hooked up twice before, and after having sex, he took a nap in my bed, and I went into another room, but once he woke up, he got to leave, and before he left, he gave me a thumbs up, then he stuck out his hand, and I took it, and then he shook it and patted my head. Ah, fuck. I was confused and gave him another thumbs up. As he left, this was done in complete silence. Okay. I can't stop cringing every time I think about this moment. Maybe this is why he ghosted me. Also need to add that neither of us came after I started asking him about his Mexico trip during reading week, which made him soft, and he decided to sleep instead. What a fucking roller coaster of an amazing... We got the play-by-play. That is... Shot for shot, gotta be in a friggin' sitcom somewhere. That has to be. Hi. What's up, Cubs? Just sloppy as all fucking get out. Trapzilla City. Babe, I'm gonna keep dancing on that bridge till the stars come home.
And cheer up, babe.
Fucking knocked it out of the park, dude. What's up, Cubs? Welcome back to Cheer Up, Babe, the podcast. I'm your host, VJ Julio, and this is episode 108. Let's get this shit rolling. Let's get this on and popping. Single father in the house. You know? I'm just going to let that sit. Single dad. By myself. On my lonesome. Holding it down. Doing what I do. Did my wife leave me? Yeah. She left. She went on a girls' trip to Whitefish, Montana. Now, we're not divorced. She just went on a birthday girls' trip. Not her birthday. That would be weird if there was a birthday trip and I wasn't a part of her birthday trip. That's not what it is. What it is she went on a girls' trip with a friend of hers from Minnesota. Y'all remember C. And it's C's birthday. And so she flew in and they went on a girls' trip to Whitefish. I've been on my lonesome for 3 days. Just crushing it, dude. Just absolute dad vibes. Just absolutely destroying the single dad life. I know what you girls want. I know what the ladies want. They come home from a long trip. They want to walk into the house. They want it to be a disaster, right? They want it to be a disaster. They want the dad, if he has hair, for it to be a disheveled mess. Maybe some scratches and bruises, dude. Maybe some just light abrasions on the face. And they want her to walk in, and they want him to collapse and say, oh, thank God you're back. Oh, my God. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you manage all of it. I don't know how you manage the house, how you manage the cooking, how you manage the cleaning. This is, of course, in a traditional setting. You know, this is obviously a traditional setting. We're getting very biblical with this analogy, but this is like the traditional. I don't know how you do it. How do you keep the kids entertained and not from destroying stuff and maintain the clean house and make sure they have the food that they need? We can't make it without you. I'm not gonna lie. I didn't think we were gonna make it one more day. I thought we were all going to burn in a fiery hellfire. I thought we were 12 hours away from going up in flames, literally and figuratively. I know that's what you want, but hey, my house is clean. My kids are fed. They're napping right now. This shit's easy. Shit's easy when you care, okay? Shit's easy when you take the phone, you turn it face down, and you slide it away. You say, I don't need to play golf right now. I don't need to game it up with golf. I don't need to play a little Clash of Clans. I don't need to, dude. I don't need to. Chess who? Slide it away. If you do that, oh, parenting's so friggin' easy. Just play with your kids, you know? What I am going to do when my wife walks in, I'm going to say, oh, I missed you so much. Because now I can. You know, now I can. There's always one person in the relationship that likes to be a little more lovey-dovey than the other person in the relationship. And the person that's not that way usually goes, give me a minute. And then that person's like, why don't you miss me? She's like, oh, I thought you would miss me. It's like, well, how can I miss you if you never go away? How can I miss you if you're always right there, you know? And I'm not saying who's who in my relationship because, honestly, it's me. It's why don't you miss me more? But that's not what we're doing in the analogy. She went away, and I miss her, and we all miss her, and that's how that works. You can't miss something if it's always available readily. So We miss mommy. She's going to come in showered with love to a spotless house that smells good to well-fed, well-rested, played-out kids.
Shia!
Sit your ass down, bitch. So, dude, honestly, we've been going so ham for 3 days. So ham. Been to so many parks. Oh, for you younger generation that doesn't know what ham means, that means hard as a motherfucker. I know that you have your fancy new words like cap. Actually, that's not even new. That's older. That's a couple years old. Let's see. Riz, you know, you guys say things like riz and you say things chi. I don't know if that's just specific to the kids that I'm going to be coaching, but they said chi whenever they wanted you to relax. And now I know what women feel like when their man tells them to calm down. Now I know what that feels like, and I will never, ever do that again. When a girl is a little bit aggressive and her guy tells her to just calm down, what does that do to your blood? Oh, it boils over the top, and you contemplate murder. And I know that for a fact because I've felt that now. When I go, hey, zip your lips, you're being too much, and they go, chill. Where's my AR-15 that I don't own? That's all I think, dude. But anyways, we've been playing like crazy. We've been going to so many parks. I love it because if you know your mans, you know that I love people watching, you know? And there's a lot of time for people watching when you're in super public places. We've had two of the warmest days that we've had all year. 2 days ago was 56 degrees. Yesterday was 64 degrees. Today, 68 degrees. We're going to the park again after they wake up from nap. But regardless, dude, we've been to the park so many times. When it's that warm, obviously there's so many people and kids, right? You get to see a lot of different things. You know, you get a lot. I love parks. I love parks because I feel like if you want to have a better faith in men, go to a park. Straight up, dude, saying it now. If you want to just feel good about dads, go to the park. Because the park is where the dads that are loving that dad life, the dads that are all about that dad life vis-a-vis your mans, it's like kindred spirits, dude. You go to a park and it's just dads playing with 3 and 4 year olds. I love it. I love it. It makes me go like, yes, fuck yeah. All you single ladies right now that are just like on the search for a good man. Sorry, he's taken and he's at the park with his kids. Sorry. Where's all the good guys? Oh, they got scooped up by the smart chicks and he's currently playing with his kids at a park somewhere. Sorry. Looks like you're shit out of luck. And that's fine. You'll get over it. But I was playing with Gracie and Lottie. Hard, dude. Like, I'm like, I want you to sleep for 3 hours. We're going to play so hard that you're going to sleep for 3 hours. You're going to need a gallon of water and you're going to need to sleep for 3 hours. And then that's me time after that, you know? So we're just sprinting slides, swings. Let's do it. Swings. We're there for like 2 hours, just ripping, dude, ripping, running around. Now I'm hyper athletic and agile. If you can't tell, I'm like so athletic and agile. I can keep up with 3 year olds just fine, dude. And this park is huge. And this park literally slants upward over the jungle gym. Like literally the left side of it is all shorter stuff. And you can climb through the jungle gym and eventually get to the big kid things without ever leaving the jungle gym. It goes hard as shit, dude. And you can be on that jungle gym for the whole time because it's enormous. All right. It's a blast. And it's just a sea of kids. And you're just waiting for kids to get taken out. And surprisingly so, they don't. They don't. Every now and then there's an accident, but it's not mass mayhem like you expect. Until your man's with his hat on, I gave myself a concussion, okay? I gave myself a fucking concussion, dude, and it was so embarrassing, and I just had to, you can't show that that hurt. You can't show that that hurt because, A, you're in public, dude. You keep that shit locked down. I gave myself a concussion at a 4-year-old jungle gym park, dude. And here's what happened, all right? Gracie, Lottie, and I are playing tag, Okay, we're running around, we're playing tag, we're staying towards the shorter end, and I'm on the ground. I'm not up in the jungle gym at this point. And there's all these entrances from the top of the jungle gym where it's like, oh, you can climb down this rock wall to get down or climb up it to get in. And oh, there's this one where it's like a pole and it like slides down and that's cool. And then there's like stepping stones you can do. There's like all the special different entrances you can go in, right? And I'm like, quote unquote, chasing Gracie around the jungle gym, and Lottie is just in tow, you know, just like that's her game, is just sprinting to keep up. And Gracie stops at one of those entrances, and I grab the rails on the outside of the entrance, and she goes, get me. And I was like, oh yeah? And she goes, oh yeah. And my 205 pound, rather explosive 31-year-old body, I was holding the rails, I did a little dip to get a good hip drive, and I jumped as hard as I possibly could have in order to get my feet the like 4.5 feet to the entrance that the entrance was. I was like, all right, I'm going to pull, jump, and just land on this entrance. So I have to jump really, really hard. I also have to integrate my arms and make sure that they're pulled. Now here's the thing, I'm wearing a baseball hat. No more hats, dude. Edna mode, no hats. All done with hats, absolutely shit rocked myself off of a bar that I didn't see because of my fucking hat. So full power explosion through the hips, big strong arm pull. You have 4.5 feet to get to that entrance, so you have to put all your power into it, all of your power, probably traveling 73 miles an hour in the middle of this explosion. Dead stopped at the top of your head by a metal bar that you have a 0% chance of beating, dude. And also, you didn't see it coming, so you weren't ready. And you hit, if you were a baby, it hit right in the soft spot, dude. But I'm not a baby, I have a full-grown cranium, and that's good. But it hit right where that soft, dude, I'll show you. Look at this. Look at that. Absolutely smoked my shit off of the bar. No hats, dude. No hats on the jungle gym. It's like fighting crime in capes. No mas, dude. Oh God, what happened after it? The embarrassment washed over me. I didn't skip a beat. I absolutely racked my head. Immediate concussion. I've had enough concussions in the past to know that. Oh, that was a concussion for sure. With my eyes closed because of the pain, I went, I'm gonna get you. Like I finished the jump, got my feet to the entrance. Ears are ringing, so much throbbing pain. My neck hurts also because it was a top-down hit. And my feet landed, and I was like, oh, fuck. Didn't say fuck because I'm in a playground with other children, and I just decided to continue the chase with my eyes closed. I went, nah, I'm going to get you. Meanwhile, I'm like, ow, 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 dude. Hurt so bad. Hurts so bad. I have a concussion now. I've had a headache for 2 days. Am I going to the hospital? No, because it'll go away. But you know what didn't happen? My kids didn't get hurt once because I was attentive and I was playing with them in the correct manner. I'm not a peacocking parent. I'm a fielding parent, which means y'all go play. I'm going to be right here. That way you always know if you glance over your shoulder, dad's right there keeping an eye on us. That's how we play at the jungle. If they want me to get involved, I get involved. Dad, chase me. All right, bet. Tag, you're it. That was so fast, you're so fucking slow. You know? But what didn't happen is either of them getting hurt. We had a great couple times at the park, and it was fantastic. Now, we also have a park that's right out the front door of our house. We went out there yesterday because I'm just killing the single dad game. I said, here's a popsicle. Let's go play at the park for a couple hours. And they're like, yes. And I'm going to go out there. I'm going to spot them. I'm going to stay on my feet surrounding the jungle gym. And I'm going to stay engaged so that I make sure that they are okay, but they have that freedom of play. Now, my favorite part of this story is that there's three kids already playing at the park. And there's a mom sitting about 35 feet away on her phone scrolling as we walk up to the park. And that's fine, dude. Use the park as an escapism if necessary. Okay. Now I walk up and I become engaged with my kids, right? I am continuing the engagement with my children. We're playing together. That's what we're going to do. The mom sees me playing with my kids and decides to turn into super mom and starts doing the fake peacocking shit where she's like, oh, I've been playing with them the whole time. I haven't been over there scrolling on my phone. Oh, there's another parent here, so it matters what I look like. So I'm going to pop to my feet and become really, really engaged with my kids, even though I watched her for 5 minutes scroll on her phone, and that's fine. If you're going to do that, just do that. Don't fake play with your kids for the viewpoint of others. Play with your kids to play with your kids, or use some escapism for the park to use some escapism for the park. Don't change your agenda based off of who's round, okay? I fucking hate it. Hate that energy. She becomes supermom, okay? Now, her kids are also kind of little shits. They're not little shits, actually. They're exactly like four-year-old boys. There's like a four-year-old boy and a five-year-old boy, and then like a two, and then like a maybe a four-year-old or a three-year-old little girl, okay? But the two older boys, I was going to say they were little shits. They're not little shits, dude. They're exactly little boys. They're like throwing rocks and shit and just being so aggressive. One has a big old black eye. You can tell they're just rough for the wears because they're boys. They play hard as hell. But she suddenly becomes integrated, right? Now I'm playing over on one side of the playground with the girls on these little spinny things. And on the other side of the playground, there's like this jungle gym where it's like balls on the end, right? And suddenly the mom goes, "Do you want to get up there and try it?" And the boy's like, "Yeah." And she picks him up. Here's the thing, dude. You got to practice. Practice makes perfect. You got to know, you got to know body dynamics if you're going to peacock your parenting, okay? If you're going to just like change your game plan, you got to be prepared. And she just wasn't, because what happened? She picked him up. She's holding him by the knees because she's relatively short, and he's like fully extended. Her arms are wrapped around his knees. Now, that is not a strong support. You need to be at their hips. You need to be at their hips in case they let go. So he's up on these monkey bar things, and she's like, "Good job. Move to the next one." And he like moves to the next one. I'm like, "Oh, great parenting thing. Look at that. You're holding a little bit low. So if he lets go, you have a lot of trust in his grip," is really all I'm saying. Because she's holding him below the knees, bro. She's holding him below the knees. I see it as a parent, but I'm not going to co-parent. I'm not going to step in and be the guy that's like at the gym being like, "Actually, you should lift your chest like this if you really want to get muscle growth." No one likes that fucking guy. And no parent likes that guy even more so. It's even worse. And I was like, "Okay, I'm not going to say anything, but that is a precariously perched hold." Okay, that hold is so precarious, there's no stability there at all. Sure as shit, his grip gives way, and he slingshots to the ground from like 8 feet up on these monkey bars, head first, or middle of his back and back of his head first. Now, it was bark, so like the landing was soft. I'm playing with the kids. I hear, "Oh," and I glance over and I just see this kid collide with the ground. And I was like, "Oh, fuck." Like, as a parent, I wanted to just sprint over there and be like, "All right, let's go. Let's assess the spine. Let's assess everything." He got the wind knocked clean fucking out of him. You know, think of the last time you got the wind knocked out of you, babe. Never ago? Like 2 decades ago, maybe, was the last time. And you remember how bad that shit hurt? Your diaphragm seized up and you did that. Like you can't take an inhale. Oh, worst feeling of all time, but we haven't felt it in 20 years, but we remember it. Shittiest feeling. Kid got the wind smoked out of him. Okay. So I'm like, "Oh God," like tense. And I hear him go, and she goes, "Oh," and she's trying to recover from the embarrassment of, "Maybe I should have just stayed scrolling on TikTok. You know, TikTok's getting banned in a week. Maybe I should have just stayed scrolling on TikTok and done my me time and not suddenly jumped into action." Like, dude, it hurt every part of my body. Every part of me was cringing from start to finish, to the point where the kid bounced his fucking head off of the ground, right? And she goes, "Okay." And he's crying. Like, you know, he gets his air back and he's crying. And she just seceded and went and sat on the sidewalk and just sat there for a while. You know, and I was just like, "Oof, that's rough." But I was like keeping an eye on it because I was like, "Oh, I kind of want to see how he moves after this. I want to make sure that he's okay after this wind comes back to him." And meanwhile, my kids are like, daddy, let's do the spin thing. I'm like, one sec. Okay. One sec. And they're like, daddy, Fuck that kid. Spin with me, dude. And I'm like, hey, just chill. One sec. Hey, let me just keep a glance on this. All right. Let me just keep an eye on this because I want to make sure that his brain is okay. I want to see how he moves. Dad! His mom bounced his head off of the ground from an 8-foot fall. He's fucking, who cares? He's fine. Let's go do some slides. And I'm like, all right. So that's what we did. Yeah, dude, we had so much fun. Single dad and it was so fun. We built the craziest fort in the living room. I built a fort and I went smart with it, dude. I did a dad-sized fort. You might be like, this feels like a sexist episode. No, dude, this is all just, it was so fun. It was so fun, okay? One thing that I bet you can admit is dads are better at playing because that's what we're designed to do. We're designed to play because guess what? We're fucking 4 years old. We just have giant bodies, all right? We just have giant bodies. And that's why we play so good. And so when I asked the girls, like, you guys want to build a fort in the living room? They go, yeah. What's the first thing I go and grab? My 10-foot ladder? That's the first thing I go grab. That's going to be the centerpiece. It's going to drape away like a tent. We'll use the couch cushions around the edge, but I'm going to be able to stand up in the middle of the fucking fort. That's what we're going to do. That's how we're going to build it. Also, we're going to run the blankets from the ladder over the top of the wall-mounted TV. That way, when you have your little movies, TV show watching inside the fort, you'll do books, you'll do TV watching inside the fort, but when it's time for TV watching, you're still watching it on the TV because the blankets drape from the back of the TV over the ladder and then back down to the cushions. You got a huge workspace. You have a huge hangout space in there. I don't have to crawl around and get all scrunchy bunchy in there, but it's still going to have that dark vibe that made forts so much fun because it felt like its own different ecosystem. Still had that vibe, you know? We're going to lay down. We're going to watch Sleeping Beauty because my daughters are obsessed with old Disney movies now. They're like, can I watch Sleeping Beauty? I'm like, yeah, I guess. Why'd she say the baby's going to die? I'm like, I don't know, because this was made in the 30s. It's a little bit fucking intense. And now that I'm talking about it, I just realized we have back-to-back fucking concussions this weekend. Maybe it's not great when mama's not here. Mom's not here. The universe gets flipped on its head. I have a concussion. And then the next day, another little kid has a concussion. People getting concussed, dude. That's what happens. Mom leaves. People get concussions. They have fun, but they get concussions, dude. And then last night, I was like, okay, I cleaned the kitchen. I'm not going to cook anything in the kitchen. We're going to go out to eat. We went to this place called Capone's. Absolutely smacks. It's like an Italian pub and grill type of thing. It's awesome. It's like it's got TVs up playing sports and stuff like that, but it's just very, very loud. It's a loud place, so I don't worry about taking my kids to it, especially when they're in a hyperactive mood. They got to wear what they wanted to wear. They wore their princess dresses. We went to Capone's and we had some chicken strips and french fries, and it was a whole vibe. It was a whole vibe. We were just hanging out. Now, the problem, it was St. Patty's Day weekend. I don't even know that. Oh, happy St. Patrick's Day, by the way. Oh, I'm not wearing green. Pinch my dick, you know? But I didn't realize it was St. Patrick's Day weekend because I don't have time to fill my brain with that shit. And we went there, and I asked, I was like, do we have a booth? Because it's easier to keep kids sequestered in a booth. And she said, oh, yeah, we have one right towards the back. I'll bring you two, okay? And I was like, oh, rock on. We go sit at this little booth that's like up on this like decking type of thing in the back. So it's like 2 feet higher than the rest of the restaurant, right? And we get up there and we're like, we get sat down and she's like, I'll get you some waters. And then she brings us waters. And the waiter doesn't come out to like check on us or take our orders yet. And I was just like, okay, what's going on? And it's because there was a 10-minute delay. Now, why was there a 10-minute delay trying to feed my kids? They're also kids. They're going to get restless, but it's fine. That is my job. I will keep them entertained. It'll be fine. It's just weird that you haven't showed up at my table yet. 11 bagpipe players walk in. I'm going to say that slower. 11 bagpipe players walk in unannounced. There was no signs or anything that said, hey, during our St. Patrick's Day weekend, we're going to have bagpipe players show up intermittently. Walked in. I could have fucking touched them. That's how close we were. Now, two things. One, bagpipes are Scottish. But that's neither here nor there. Bagpipes are Scottish. Why is it playing during St. Patrick's Day? This isn't freedom. This is Irish. But that's neither here nor there. Now, maybe I'm way off base there, but I always thought that bagpipes were Scottish, not Irish. Why are you bringing them out for a St. Patrick's Day celebration? Maybe I'm way off base. Yeah, no. Two, bagpipes sound good 50 plus. Bagpipes sound good if you are 50 plus feet away. You know where bagpipes sound horrendous? 49 minus. You know where bagpipes blow your fucking eardrums out? 5 minus. You know where it's the worst sound imaginable for a 2 and a 3-year-old? 5 minus. You sat me at this table and didn't mention to me, like, by the way, in 5 minutes, a line of 11 bagpipe players are going to come in. You're going to be able to stroke the nape of their neck. And they're going to blow that fucking, they're going to smack those bags, baby. They are going to absolutely smoke those poles, okay? They are going to absolutely deep throat those pipes. And they're going to get fucking after it for over 10 minutes. And you just got a concussion. You already have a slight headache. And now we are going to make your ears bleed because you're 5 minus. The bagpipe player was basically sitting on my lap playing the fucking bagpipes. Both of my kids are like this every time they but guess what? Got polite ass kids, you know. It was a new experience for them. They were like, "Oh god, the second they start playing, both of them hands to the ears covered up. There's like not a chance. Like what the fuck was that?" Also, the drums that go along with the bagpipes, the most aggressive drums of all time. It's one note. It's and it's like what tone is it? It's like it's like that. It's like, but played 200 RPM. You know what I mean? Or faster. I feel like RPM would be kind of slow. It's just so loud. And he's basically in my lap playing the fucking bagpipes. My kids are covering. But every time that they fade it out and before they started in, my kids are clapping. They're clapping and smiling. So they had a good time. It was fine. They don't have hearing loss yet. We'll see what happens over the next few months. But all that to say, Single Dad and It is a world of adventures, and it's so fun. And I am concussed with hearing loss at the end of the 3 days. So, but my kids are completely fine and healthy. So it's a war out there. It is an absolute war. Oh! I want to tell you guys a funny story about Charlotte, okay? My little Lottie has a gag reflex. Like, she has that, she has the, is it considered weak if you gag at everything? Or is it considered you have a strong gag reflex if you gag at everything? Probably strong. Well, Lottie has the strongest, okay? Like, oh, dude, I love this story. So, this actually was about a week ago. Gracie had diarrhea. Okay, sorry if you're eating. Gracie had the shits, right? Now, Gracie. Gracie goes to the bathroom. She's having a rough go of it. And instead of, like, calling for us to wipe, slid off of the, like, goes to get off of the toilet and just slides her ass along the toilet. And just leaves a trail of shit like a fucking snail. She just snails shit across the toilet, right? And then she got embarrassed, runs out and grabs Jordan and goes, "I got poop. I got poop everywhere." And Lottie heard that and saw the sadness in her sister's face and goes running in. So by the time Jordan gets in there, there's shit smeared across the toilet seat and a little bit of shit on the ground. Have kids. She runs in and she's like, ah, she's trying to clean Gracie up while Lottie runs in, and Lottie's like running in to check on her sister and the situation. She runs in. So she's in the business, you know? So Jordan has grabbed cleaning supplies. She's trying to wipe Gracie up. She's on her hands and knees. She's trying to clean the the poop before Lottie touches it. She's trying to clean Gracie up. She's trying to console Gracie. And the whole time Lottie goes, "Are you okay, Gracie?" "It's okay, Gracie." "You got poop on it?" Just top to bottom, picture that. My wife in a panic with holding cleaning supplies and trying to console our daughter who has shit all over her legs. There's poop all over the bathroom, and her youngest is in there just screaming, going, "It's okay." Meanwhile, I'm just upstairs working, unaware of all of it. Had no fucking idea what was going on. Didn't even hear the commotion. Just... have kids, you know? Sure, those moments are awful as they're happening, but that's the best, dude. Just the absolute chaos disaster of that moment, mama handled it just fine. The girls are good. Everyone got their shit wiped up. They took a bath. The bathroom's clean now. And Lottie didn't puke everywhere, regardless of what sounds she was making. It's okay. And it's like Lottie doesn't know that it's like the gagging is like a gross reflex. She doesn't know that gagging is like her body telling her that it's grossing her out, because she never says like, "Oh, yucky," or "Oh, stinky," or anything like that. She's just in wherever she's at gagging. Like we'll be walking outside playing and there'll be like a pile of dog poop somewhere. And she'll be like, "Poop." And then but she's just smiling. Just, "Oh, daddy, poop." "Yeah, get away from it. No, touch it." "No, don't touch the dog poop, okay?" "Okay." Fuck. Oh, these kids, man. But it's been fun. Oh, before we go into unqualified dad advice, babe, I have to give a big shout out to my friends Alex and Bree. You know, I'm the reason they're married. We can say that. It wasn't them putting the time in on the relationship. It was me getting ordained online and then holding the wedding. It's the only reason they're married. It's all because of me. It's huge. It's perfect. I did it all. I'm start to finish the entire reason for their marriage and their happiness and their relationship. And quick little pat on the back. That was just a reminder to all of you. During New Year's a couple years ago, I got ordained online. I'm a minister practicing, and I did their wedding, and it was absolutely fantastic. But those two, Shia, prepare yourself, followed their dream and open up a fucking gym. Let's hear it. Those of you that don't know, I met them while I was coaching at a CrossFit gym in Pocatello, Idaho. I was highly integrated into the gym, to say the least, and that's how I met them, and I coached them every day, and we obviously bonded over it. They're the ones that we went to the gay bar, remember, and I got hit on by that guy when I was changing into my tank top that said sachet away. You remember that? Listen, if you're not caught up, catch up, all right? We've talked about a lot of fucking stories on this podcast. You need to catch up. Are you jumping in on episode 107, or are you... going back? I need you to go back so you can be up to date, so I don't have to remind you of all these things. But it's that couple. They opened up a gym called Epic Fitness, and it is, and I'm just so fucking proud. I just had to give a big shout out to them. I'll repost them on my Instagram story. Go follow their gym and support them, and just say, "Yo, I'm here from the den." Big ups on following your dreams and making it happen. Just proud of them. Wanted to give a shout out to that because super freaking cool. Let's do some unqualified dad advice. So for those of you that don't know what unqualified dad advice is, go listen to another episode. I explain it there. Now, we are on the internet. We are on the advice column on Reddit. We're going to help some people out. All right, we're going to scroll and we're going to stop and we're going to see if we can help Radiant Manor 4571. Okay. And the title is promising. Shook hands after sex. I gave him a thumbs up. I mean, in a sitcom, you know, in a middle raunchy sitcom where sex is prevalent, but they don't swear, you know, absolutely insane. I'm a really awkward person, but is this normal? So this guy came over, we hooked up twice before, and after having sex, he took a nap in my bed, and I went into another room, but once he woke up, he got to leave, and before he left, he gave me a thumbs up, then he stuck out his hand, and I took it, and then he shook it and patted my head. Oh, fuck! I was confused and gave him another thumbs up. As he left, this was done in complete silence. Okay. I can't stop cringing every time I think about this moment. This is why he ghosted me. Also need to add that neither of us came after I started asking him about his Mexico trip during reading week, which made him soft, and he decided to sleep instead. What a fucking roller coaster of an amazing... We got the play-by-play. That is... Shot for shot, gotta be in a friggin' sitcom somewhere. That has to be. And I can only imagine. So, okay. Oh, wow. That's so fantastic, dude. He's on top, barely missionarying you. You're on bottom, not 100% into it because it's in the middle of the day and you have stuff on your mind. And he's just kind of going. You guys are making it's quiet. The sex is quiet. You know it's silent, dude. You know all that you hear every now and then during this is, you know. And I don't mean to give some of y'all trauma flashbacks, but you know it's just dead ass silent. And so like, he's trying to kind of get into it, and you're not feeling it, and you just go like, "So how was your Mexico trip?" And he was like, what? Because he's trying to fool himself right now. He's like, okay, get into the zone, start laying it down. And then he's trying to self-convince. So he's just like, yeah, okay, no, you got this. You're going good. Yeah, she's starting to get into it. She's starting to feel it. Yeah, you're putting in work, my guy. Fuck yeah, dude, you're getting it done. Yeah, how was your Mexico trip? What? Your trip to Mexico, was it good? Was it good? That's when you're like 6% in on what's going on. That's when you're like 6% into what's going on. You can't be 6% in. You got to be all in, okay? You got to fake 50 until the other 50 comes through from trickery of your brain, okay? You don't ask him about his Mexico trip during reading week, dude. What does that mean? And he just gets soft and just rolls over and takes a nap. And both of you are simultaneously already embarrassed about how sexually incompatible that was. How, like, we would have been better off watching TV together, you know? And that's so sad. But he wakes up and goes, he's already made up his mind, by the way. Like, I'll never talk to this girl again because I'm embarrassed. I put in the worst work possible. Obviously, he didn't warm you up. You weren't feeling it. You're like a diesel fucking engine. You got to put like 15 minutes of warm-up time into it before you can even think of trying to kickstart it, you know, before you even think of trying to turn it over. Oh, that works on multiple levels. He already, in his mind, he rolled over to take a nap and he dreamed about never talking to you again. And then he woke up and he saw you and he goes, well, this is the last time I'll ever see her. Big old thumbs up. And you stuck your hand out. You shook your head. He patted you on the head. This is so bad. And you went, another thumbs up. And then he dipped. Why would you want to see him again? Why would you want him to call you? The best case scenario after this interaction is that you never have to see him again. So count your blessings. Congratulations. If he texts you, block his number. That's it. That's it. God, we give out good advice on this freaking podcast, dude. We really put things into perspective. Scroll. Stop. My parents found out about my drugs. Okay. Haunting Drive 4817. My parents found out that I have been taking painkillers and want to put me into counseling and therapy and go talk to my talk. What does that mean? Does that mean something, or do you type stupid? Are your painkillers typing for you? This is from a 20-year-old woman. I do not want to do any of those things, and I'd rather just throw the rest of the painkillers away and call it done. I am beyond embarrassed and just want to run away from everything. I don't know what to do in this situation. I want to run, but I know that will just lead to more problems. I'm close with my parents, which is why I'm so disappointed in myself and in making them worry like that. I don't know if I can face the consequences. I think my anxiety will cause me to run away from my problems. Yeah, well, you made your fucking bed, babe. You know, you're the one developing a drug habit. And what happens when you develop a drug habit is you know that it's bad and you got found out. Maybe just kind of try to look into the future and be like, oh, it's probably a good thing that I got caught because this could have devolved into ruining my entire life. You know, maybe just this could have got its hooks all the way into me. And maybe the best case scenario is that, oh, I have to deal with a little bit of embarrassment before this completely consumes my life, you know, and maybe go to counseling because in the future, after the embarrassment subsides, you don't just want to have no tools to be able to turn away from this budding addiction. So I would say go to therapy and counseling for the sake of your parents and also for the sake of your future self because you don't have the tools to just say no yet. So go practice. Go get some tools. Go to counseling. It'll be beneficial on every aspect. So just go do it. And also eat that embarrassment pill, dude, because, yeah, you should feel embarrassed. If you are ashamed of what you did, you should feel embarrassed and therefore lean in. And that's really it. Let's see what people commented on that one. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. I beg to differ. Your parents probably want you to go into counseling and therapy because just stopping doing drugs cold turkey when you've been doing them for a while could be seriously bad for your health. You're young, and I get that this feels very shameful to you, but it's not. The shame would be in not getting the professional treatment you need to get past this. Both mental and physical help is needed. Yeah, I agree. Still think you should feel fucking embarrassed because you change your actions when something embarrasses you. So maybe just crush it with that. Scroll. Stop. EBT refunds. I don't know what EBT is. What does that mean? EBT refunds. Here, hold on. What's EBT? Electronic benefit transfer. An electronic system that allows a supplemental nutrition assistance program. Oh, food stamps. It's called EBT. I did not know that it was called fucking EBT. All right. So food stamps, right? Here's the deal, dude. You guys know that I've been broke before. I've just never done that, you know? And no shade to people who have done food stamps. I just would rather starve. But that's no shade to people that have to use EBT. Like, thank God it's there, especially for people that are actually in need, that are trying to do their best and make it work, who are just coming up short and they need to feed their family. It's like, fuck yeah. Hell yeah. That's exactly what it's for. Crush that, dude. Do your thing. Take care of your family and provide. I'm sorry I didn't know what I'm not good with acronyms. FYI, I ordered thought the Fred Meyer app, who always Instacart for deliveries. What? I ordered thought the Fred Meyer app, who always Instacart for deliveries. And just so you know, this comes from a username, just fuck it all. Painting a picture. Okay. Let me try to discern what they're trying to say here before I lose my absolute shit. Using EBT, fine, no problem. Bad grammar, fiery hellfire. Burning, scalding hot hellfire, okay? Wee, wee, wee. That's me, the grammar police, and I'm fucking sick of it. I ordered through the Fred Meyer app, which always uses Instacart for deliveries. That's what I'm assuming you're meaning to type. Something happened and my order was canceled by the store. I was told it would take up to 30 business days for me to get my EBT refund, which is crazy to me. So I waited and on the 30th day called and was then told it could be up to 45 days. This is crazy to me. This is going to sound insensitive, but I don't mean it to be uber insensitive, but doesn't sound like that is anyone's problem. Sounds like that could be just policy, and also beggars can't be choosers. Scroll. Stop. That was harsh. That was harsh. But sometimes we got to get fucking real. You know? Sometimes we got to get real. Got a bad review at work, thinking about changing my life. Sounds a bit dramatic, but okay. All right, that's a little dramatic. All right, that's a little dramatic, but it's not completely wrong. Wow. I've been in advertising for going on 10 years, and I've spent 7 of those years as a copywriter. I'd always been good at writing, and I love to figure out difficult things. My mother had a connection at a Chicago agency. It was a good job, and the rest just fell into place like that. Not a bad job at all. Currently making $80,000 a year, good healthcare, and the hours are not too crazy. I'm in the office once a week. As a copywriter with a focus on broker to broker, I'm in something of a specialty in the field. It's not easy to find someone who can do what I do. The only problem is I'm miserable. The thing that I spend every day creating is essentially junk. It's eye pollution. I enjoy being clever and writing things that make people smile, but the opportunities to do that are few and far between. It's a lot of sales guides, infographics, social media posts, and banner ads. You know, the thing people have created browser extensions to kill on site. So not a very fulfilling experience. My work environment overall isn't too bad. Advertising has a reputation for being merciless, cutthroat, and fast-paced. My agency is fine. I like working with my coworkers, and I have enough personal time to pursue my hobbies. But over the past year, I found it harder and harder to continue to engage with my work. On top of that, the leader of my department can be a pretty intense person. Without talking outside of school, I was put on a series of long-term projects that really highlighted how little I care for this job that led to my very first panic attack. Hooray! Zero out of 10 would not recommend. I like this person. A coworker encouraged me. They also type well. You know, big ups to Yabaya. A coworker encouraged me to take a short-term leave of absence, and I did. 3 months out of the environment did me a lot of good, and after returning, these have been largely fine. Not great, just fine. My clients love my work. I've never missed a deadline. People rely on me. But in my recent annual review, some of the feedback made it clear that my managers saw my need to take leave as a failure on my part. Essentially, we gave you an opportunity to do something big and creative like you asked, but you didn't deliver. The opportunity was being the assignment where my manager's difficult and passive-aggressive leadership style led to the panic attack and my decision to seek psychiatric help. There's just no way I can read it as anything other than being punished for taking advantage of the resources my workplace made available to me, so I think it's time to make a change. If they say that the first step to fixing a problem is admitting you have one, then I'm all set there. But where do I go from here? How do I find out what I'm good at, and how do I turn it into a new career? So the question, what are some direct paths that you'd recommend taking for changing my career slash profession? I can't think of anything I want to go back to college to learn how to do, but I've always been curious about something more hands-on. A trade like welding comes to mind. I've always been handy, but I'm just looking for something I can see the results and know I've done a good job that lets someone do their job slash makes someone else's life easier. Oh, background. I'm in my early 30s, no criminal history. I'm married, living in a major U.S. city with my wife, our partner, and our cat. What? Are you in a thruple? God, new age people were nuts to me, dude. Moving from my city would be extremely difficult and emotionally taxing. I'm overweight, 280 pounds plus, but I work out regularly, can lift heavy things easily, and can stand slash be on my feet for a while. I have no major medical issues, but I have a history of asthma and taking medication for ADHD, so things like law enforcement and military service are basically out. If not due to age, then definitely those disqualifying health characteristics, parentheses, also the obesity. I enjoy talking with and working with people. I'm good with my hands. I'm curious and pick up new things quickly. I can write well, but I'm not looking for another job in the agency setting. If my next job is going to be as a writer, I want it to be writing for something that matters. Yeah, dude, this is such an individualized question. Great. Great type up, by the way. Like, super hit the points. Hyper impressed by the actual layout of that. But yeah, but let's simplify it, right? You are unhappy in the work that you've put a lot of time and energy into. You've put a lot of your heart and soul into this career, and it is not fulfilling you, which is normal, kind of par for the course. And in terms of finding a new job, like, you need to sit with yourself and think about what you want to try. Like, what slight improvements maybe to this career would make it feel better? Because honestly, at this point, you have responsibilities. Like, you have stuff that needs to get paid for, so you have to make a certain dollar amount. So you immediately take full range freedom off of the table. You just don't have that luxury anymore. You have to provide, unless you're willing to change your lifestyle. If you're willing to change your lifestyle, literally every door is opened. But if you have responsibilities and certain people to take care of, then you have to sacrifice in some capacity. What I would do is I would recommend transitioning this career in after doing research. And if something sparks an interest within this industry, but it's not exactly what you've been doing, you still have the ability to show, like, hey, I have this much experience in this field. I have this much success in this field. And therefore, you would be able to get fit into that role, right? And that's really like your option at this point, because at the end of the day, our backs get put up against a wall when we stack on our responsibilities and we don't make these jumps quicker. You got to make these jumps earlier on. And I'm not saying you're shit out of luck. Of course you can transition. I'm doing it right now, you know? And I just did it. I just got the job offer, by the way. I just transitioned into something that is along the lines of what I am doing with improvements. So there are certain aspects of my current role that I go, this drains me and this does not serve me. I don't like this aspect or this aspect. I found a role that's in the same industry that X's out those issues that I have. The pay is linear with still the same trajectory up plan. And so I just did that. You just got to go on the hunt. Start throwing out applications. Start going on job interviews. Start putting your name out there. Use connections. You probably have a ton of connections within the industry after 10 years. And you just got to make that jump to start putting your name out there. And once you've exhausted all of the different openings and options for yourself, you pick. And don't expect to find the perfect passion answer. And this is kind of a debate that, like, Jordan and I had to have a sit down and be real honest with ourselves. And I came to the conclusion of, like, my job is not going to be what provides me my happiness. And that's a sad realization to come about, but that's kind of the realization that it's not going to be what I am identified by. It's not going to be what serves my life. It's a big part of your life, but it is the providing part of your life, right? You got to do what you got to do in order to give the people in your life what you think they deserve. And that is kind of the plight of man and women. You know, that's, sorry, that was like just a saying. I'm saying like women do the same thing, but I just think of like the minor who hates his job, not an underage person, like a minor, like a hard hat. Minor, like that job sucks. They don't like that job, but they do it because it provides for their family and it takes care of them. You know, it's like the shitty jobs. It's not like those people in those jobs are fulfilled by those jobs. And that can lead to depression and sadness over a stretch of time if you don't have your priorities in order. 100%. But I am under the realization that my job is not going to be my identifier, and it's also not going to be what provides me happiness. That's going to be everything else. So I have to be as emotionally integrated and as invested outside of work into all the things that do serve me in order to live my happy, fulfilled life. Now, if you absolutely fucking despise what you do, yeah, transition. There's so many jobs out there. That's fine. But I think the concept of like your work, just do what you're passionate about. Like that thing, like sometimes you got to sacrifice that a little bit and realize like, oh no, all of the other things in my life are what I am identified by. I am identified as, you know, how do I help people outside of work? What kind of father am I? What kind of husband am I? Are the people that are in my life outside of my job reliant on me? Like, do I fill their bucket in some capacity? Do they want me around? Do I have strong relationships and connections with these people? And that's where my happiness derives from. If you can have a little bit of that at work, you're winning. That's good. But for the most part, people just do their jobs, you know. And it's a big part of your life. So you definitely don't want to do something you hate that doesn't serve you at all. But in terms of trying to find that perfect position, you might just be spinning your wheels. Do something that you can turn into a proud point for you, but don't expect that to be the sole serve yourself in your life move. Jobs are a sacrifice. We sacrifice our time in order to get the things that we want, in order to provide, and you have to set the parameters for what you're going to be able to do so that things on the outside of that job don't become hindered or sacrificed, because those are the things that make up your identity. Those are the things that really matter in life. How my dinner table operates matters a lot more than the files that I submit at work. So I'm focusing on the former. Does that make sense? Well, hi, baby. How was your nap? Speak of the devil. I was just kind of talking about you. You are warm. Were you all cozied up in your blankie? Yeah. Yeah, do you want to go play at the park? All right, we can...
Hey, I see a frozen dress.
Is that a frozen dress? Like yours?
Yeah, I think it.
I think so, too.
It matches my dress.
You think it does?
I think she has the match of my dress.
You think it's the match?
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely looks similar, that's for sure. When your sissy wakes up, we'll go play at the park. Deal?
Dress.
You want to play with them?
Yeah.
If they're still out there, yeah, you can go up and introduce yourself. What do you say when you meet someone new?
Daddy, buy that circle.
Yeah.
That one matches that.
It does. Do you know what letter that is? That's an O.
Oh.
Do you know what starts with an O?
Monkey.
That's an M. O is octopus. Ah. Ah, or oh, oh. That's what sound it makes.
But that circle, that starts with the octopus.
That's right. And that's called an O. That's what that circle is called.
Yeah, I didn't point at that.
Yeah, you've tried that, huh? Now be careful.
I didn't point at that.
This? That's what you...
I point at that.
Oh, this?
No.
This?
No.
This?
Yeah.
That's an N.
Yeah, that's after I did that.
Hi, honey. What? Come here, I can't hear what you're saying. Hi. Well, should we go play at the park? You want a popsicle?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're going to get a popsicle.
Are you going to do a white one or an orange one? You want a lime one? The white?
I like orange or lime.
Yeah.
I like the white one.
You want the lime one more?
Yeah, the lime.
Okay. Which one do you want, Bots?
I want pink.
We don't have pink. We only have orange and white, which is peach or lime. Which one do you want?
Peach.
You want peach?
Yeah.
All right. You can have
a peach. I like peach, though.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I do, too.
Well,
you think you're going to do peach, too?
Yeah. You have
what am I going to have?
Yeah. Do you want lime?
Should I do lime? That way when you guys want to try my lime one, you can have a bite. Yeah. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
But when I take a bite of popsicles, it's really cold. I don't like cold popsicles.
They're really cold. Yeah. Does it, it make
really cold? They make my mouth really, really cold.
Makes your mouth really cold, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Should I stop
to
She does. Do you need some water?
And my ear inside there is hurting.
It's hurting right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's clearing out. Well, do you want me to be all done with my podcast?
I don't want to go out there.
I know, but do you want me to be all done with my podcast? Yeah. Do you want to say goodbye, Cubs?
Huh?
Say, so talk right here and say, see you later, Cubs.
See you later, Cubs.
You want to say see you later? Here, Lottie, can you say, go out there.
Go out there.
Don't be a bummer.
Don't be a bummer.
And cheer up.
Cheer up.
Babe.